Thank you, folks, for showing back up again, as one of our gentlemen pointed out to me. He said, well, if you like part one, come back for part two. But I didn't tell people what to do if they didn't want to come back. So they found something else to do anyway. But we're going to give her a try again, and y'all just bear with us on our Facebook posting. So our internet's still down tonight. But we're going to make it. God bless us and everything. But I want to talk to you again tonight. Part two, it's about time. And we're going to read some scripture from Psalm chapter 31 tonight. Verses 14 and 15 is where we're going to start. And so we'll start right there. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Father, bless your holy scripture. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's come out here tonight to listen to your word. I pray, Lord, that you bless us tonight as we talk about time and we listen to a message on time. Help us, Lord, to be able to apply it to our life so that we might have better use of the precious time, the precious seconds that you've given each one of us. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory for everything. In Christ's name, amen. Why in the world do we need to manage ourselves? First of all, we covered a little of this morning. If we don't manage ourselves, something else or someone else will, and then you will not accomplish what you really want to do. Now, the scripture indicates to us, to each of us, that you should manage yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us about time. That's one of the strongest time verses in the Bible. To everything, there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. And I'll tell you, the scripture goes on in Ecclesiastes, it goes about a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to die, a time to be born. And it goes through many, many segments of time, which we're not going to do right now. But the main thing we need to know is there is a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time when we need to come together as a group and worship God. There is a time when we need to go in our closet and pray by ourselves. Get off by ourselves. Just do things by ourselves. There is a time for everything that we encounter in this earth. And God tells us that so plainly in His scripture right there. Now, first of all, we want to use time wisely. Now remember, we can't get any more of it. All we got is what we're getting right now. So we need to use it wisely. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now folks, I know every one of us have been guilty of sort of pointing our fingers sometimes at somebody and say, "Wow, what a foolish person that is, the way they act and the way they live their life." The scripture's telling us right there, walk circumspectly, walk uprightly, not as fools, but as wise men and women, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we used that scripture this morning. And you recall, we can redeem the time, which means use it right. But if we waste it, and we don't do it, we waste it such as fools, and we're not wise, it's gone. We cannot go back and get it, okay? How many of you got a nap in this afternoon? All right. I didn't. I'll take mine tonight while I'm preaching, okay? But you can't. You took that time, and that was a time of refreshing. I was afraid if I went to sleep, I wouldn't wake up, and somebody would say, "Hey, where are you at?" And I wouldn't make it back up if Jane went to sleep also. So we need to redeem our time. Use our time, as the scripture says, very, very wisely. Now, the Christian is going to be held accountable for the time, talent, and treasure God gives him. Folks, this is serious stuff, okay? God has allotted each one of us that's in this room tonight a certain amount of time to live here on this earth. And when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, He has a job for each one of us to do. And I don't care, your job's going to be different from the person next to you, the one in front of you, the one behind you. It's going to be totally different. But God wants you to take it serious. Because let me tell you something. When His Son hung on that cross, that was very serious business where He died for us. He took time to come from heaven to live on earth to go to the cross to die for us. So what He wants us is to use our time for Him very wisely. And we're going to be held accountable for that. I believe when we stand in front of the Bema Seat of Christ, where He's going to judge the Christians, that we're going to be held accountable for our time that we've used, whether we've used it foolishly or whether we've used it wisely. And in Psalm 90:10, one of the verses we used this morning, the days of our lives are 70 years. Folks, I've made it 70 years. And when I was 30, I never even thought about being 70 years old. And I guarantee you, some of you didn't either. We just didn't think about it. When you're young, you're going to live forever. Now that you're getting older, you think, uh-oh, look what's happened to me. I'm done got here now. What in the world am I going to do? Now, some of you haven't got there yet, but you're on the way there too. And thank God that we got that. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years, which, praise God, some of you have got to that point and beyond, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I like that right there. Brother Michael made some reference to flying away a while ago while he was talking about when we are dead, we're going to fly away. We're going to go and be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Psalm 90:12 also says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, folks, what that means very simply is this. Number our days. Tomorrow, day one of my life. Day one of the rest of my life. That's it. I can't handle Tuesday. All I can do right now while I'm sitting here and while you're sitting here, all you can do is handle Sunday. That's it. And this is what that scripture says. Teach us to number our days. What are you going to do today? You went to church. All of you that are sitting here, or most all of you, were here this morning. Now you're back here tonight. So you have numbered your day and gained a heart of wisdom. Now, when the sun comes up in the morning, you put your feet on the floor. Number that as the day that God has given you and get the most out of it. That don't mean go at a breakneck speed or pace with everything that you do. It just means put God first. Let Him be there. So you can number your days, and at the end of the day you say, God, thank You for Monday. Thank You, Lord, for letting me go through this day. And Lord, I hope and pray that I was what You wanted me to be for this day that You've blessed me with. You see, folks, I am a strong believer in God is the giver and taker of life. I believe that, my heart and soul, that He is the giver and taker of life. So we need to make sure that we take the number of our days and number our days as each one of them being a very, very special day. And if we do that, we gain a heart of wisdom. And you know, when Solomon prayed his prayer and God asked him, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom to rule my people. I think that's one of the greatest prayers that we could pray for right there is wisdom. Because with wisdom, you can do many, many things. Okay. The very nature of time makes it necessary that we manage ourselves. Time cannot be stopped. although you've heard of people having a face that could stop a clock, they really can't. Okay. Time cannot be stopped. We were blessed to be at the Gideon banquet the other night. Brother Michael was there and I was there. And, of course, Mike and Deborah were there. But I was amazed. The clock that's on top of that building. Have y'all ever been in that community? What is it called? Underwood Petersville Community Center? There's a clock up on the tower, up in the top of it. And it has got a gizmo down on the bottom. It's about three or four times bigger than this that's powering that clock. And I thought to myself, man, how important time is that it takes a machine like that to power that clock on top of that thing up there so that it is accurate. Now I'm in the habit now when I pass that clock, I check it with my watch. And so far, my watch and that clock's been going pretty good together. But you can't stop time. It's going to go on. We can't stretch it. That minute I talked a while ago about the clock at Underwood Petersville Community Center, I can't go back and stretch that time. It's a certain minute of time, and it's gone. And time cannot be reproduced. You know, we can reproduce a lot of things. We're going to reproduce our message tonight on CD and possibly on Facebook. If our internet connection is working, it'll be on Facebook. But we cannot reproduce time. Many things I've done in my life that I wish I could go back and have a redo. But God doesn't allow us to have those redos there. Have you ever noticed how stubborn and uncooperative time is? When you want it to zip by, it drags. All teenage boys can't wait till they're 16 years old to get those wheels. Boom! I can get all the girls now. So we can't wait. After they turn 16 and they get a few years on them, and they look back, it seems like time, bow, boom. Where in the world? I look back now, where did it go? Where did the time go? But when we're anticipating an event, it drags. But when we go to looking back, folks, it's like it was yesterday when we were kids, didn't it? It's just amazing how it is. When you want it to slow down, it's tomorrow already. 2 weeks on vacation is never like 2 weeks on a strict diet, is it? 2 weeks on a vacation, man, where did it go? 2 weeks on a diet, oh, this is killing me. Yeah, just say, I mean, deadlines arrive so quickly, but habits take us so long to break. It seems the month or year only started, and now it's over. Did you know next week we will start the month of May? Where has 2017 gone? It seems like just yesterday we were celebrating Christmas. And we had Santa Claus up here with all telling the Christmas story with all the kids. Look back. Doesn't it seem like yesterday? Time just is going on and on and on. And Swindle, you know, with folks on the family, says some folks can stay longer in an hour than others in a week, you know, which means they're just terrible company to be around, okay? They're like a fellow that could brighten a room up when he walked out of it. The really amazing thing is that in every situation, every hour has exactly 60 minutes, no more and no less. Psalm 31, 14, 15, we done read. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Now, there's two concepts of time I want to bring up to you tonight. We're a little more informal tonight. First of all, time can be measured by segments. Segments meaning hours, minutes, seconds, days. That's how time can be done. For instance, let me give you an example. It takes exactly 28 minutes for me to crank my car at 540 County Road 322 and arrive in the parking lot at Liberty Baptist Church. It takes me 28 minutes to do that. Now, there's always things that can happen to stop that. But on an average, I'm looking at 28 minutes to get to church. It'll take me 28 minutes to get home tonight, pending I don't make a stop or anything. It takes 3 minutes to hard-boil an egg. How long does it take to nuke a hot dog in the microwave? 30 seconds, 60 seconds? I don't know. You know, different times, different. I guess it measures the difference on the hot dog and all. But significant events, seasons, epics, eras, they're like a period of time, not a segment of time that we're talking about. Farmers are measure their things by plowing, planting, and harvesting. That's segments of times right there, are significant events too. Families measure by birthdays, anniversaries, and special occasions. Now the Bible gives us two words for time. One of them is chronos, K-R-O-N-O-S. And that means chronological or sequential time. Chronological time is what you're looking at on your watch. That's a segment of time right there. It's measured in segments. Okay, my chronological time on my watch right now says 6:32. We started this service at 6 o'clock. We sang a couple of songs, and now here we are at 6:32. That is chronological time. Now, Kairos time is the other time that's mentioned in the Bible. That's God's time. Now, you know God don't work by the clock that we do, okay? And Kairos is opportunity, seasons of quality. Let's say that chronological time is running along just like this. And that chronology right there, God intersects with that timeline sometime. He intersected with his Kairos time the day you got saved. That was a intersection of God's time right there. So there's opportunities that God puts in front of each one of us that has to do with Kairos times, which very simply means the right moment. I'll give an example out of the Bible. Philip saw the eunuch reading his scripture in the Bible, and he says to him, he runs and catches him in his chariot, and he says, "Do you know what you're reading?" He said, "How can I? I don't know." Now, this fellow had just left church. That's terrible. He just left church, and he didn't know what in the world was going on. Hopefully nobody ever does that here. But he did. So the right time, Philip intersected with that chariot. God had that split time right there. This eunuch went on back to his home in Ethiopia and became a missionary and started the church down there. There is no telling how many hundreds and thousands of souls were saved because Kairos interjected with Chronos at the right time. But what if Philip hadn't have said, "Oh, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not going to do it"? There would have been a missed opportunity. Now remember about time, if you miss the opportunity, there's no undo button. We can't go back. When God tells you to do something and he speaks to you many times in a still small voice, many times through a Bible passage, many times through what a preacher or a teacher is saying, but when God speaks to you, pay attention, because that's the Kairos time coming into the chronological time, and that's the intersection that God has something for you to do. Have I confused you? I hope not, okay? But that's the two times that are in the Bible right there too. So, what time is it anyway? Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's look at what the Scripture says about what time it is right now. Right now, folks, it's the last time. 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour. That's pretty strong, isn't it? It's the last hour. And you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. We are living so much closer to Christ's return than in John's or Jesus' day. Now, antichrist had already appeared, and it says many antichrists have come. This was in the New Testament age. Folks, we have got them everywhere right now. There are more antichrists springing up all over the place. And what they're doing is just offering people something else other than what we have here. Antichrist. They're like Christ, but they're antichrist. They're not showing the way of salvation the way we show the salvation, way of salvation. You will not go into their meetings and hear the Word of God that we've used here, even just tonight. They are anti-Christ, and they're everywhere. So we know, because they're everywhere, that it's not going to be long till Jesus comes back. That's one of the signs right there. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 14, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So, since Jesus was crucified and, praise God, resurrected, 2 days in God's time. 2 days. So we say, well, preacher, where's the promise of his return? 2 days. Not 2,000 years. 2 days in God's eyes. You see, God created time. He has no beginning. He has no end. A lady was telling me the other day about one of her sons who is just becoming a teenager, and a different church they go to, but he's wanting to get baptized. But he has one hang-up. His hang-up is, where did God come from? Where did God come from? And their parents are trying to work with him, and a minister's trying to work with him too. But where did God come from? What is in the beginning? You know, I take it by faith when my Bible says, in the beginning, God. He was always there. He will always be there. And that's the way that I look at it right there. But with God, 1,000 years is as one day. So we're looking at, as far as God is concerned, we're looking at about 2 days have passed since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But to us, it's been 2,000 years. The Lord, verse 9, is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I love that. He is not slack. Any day he could say, son, go get them. But he's not slack. He is not wanting one person to perish. You know, I think sometimes our prayers for our loved ones and our lost people around us are keeping Jesus from coming back. Because of that verse right there, God is not slack concerning his promise. He wants everyone to be saved. But then verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. It's coming as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen, and praise God for that right there. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So, our time spent here, we don't know when God is going to take us out. We don't know when we're going to leave this body by death or by the rapture of the church. We don't know when that day is coming. But what he says here is, be sure you're without spot and blameless. Oh, but we do have some religions now that let you sin all week and then come and get forgiveness on Sunday. That isn't what this says. It says be without spot and blameless. Do it on Monday. Remember, we want to look at tomorrow as a precious gift of God. And we don't want to take God's gift and use it for something sinful. Because it's sure that God is going to come. The Lord's going to come. We don't know when. But we all should have a real sense of hope and some urgency about us. Yes, he's coming. Yes, he's coming. And because he's coming, I need to live my life as close to perfect as I can. You need to live your life as close to perfect as you can. Now, how we spend our leisure time. Let's look at Revelation 10:6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. You remember this morning we talked about every one of us has about 35 hours a week discretionary time, 5 hours a day. Now, when God does come back, after the rapture, after the tribulation, and when Jesus goes to set his kingdom up, and those scriptures that we just read about the heavens melting and the earth melting and all of that, time will be no longer. It's over. Then it's going to be sort of like God's time. What are we going to do in heaven with all that time? Time, folks, will be no more. Now that's hard to grasp, but no more time will be there. But here's something else it's time for us to do now. Because we're in the last times, it's time for holiness. Romans 13:11. Do this, knowing the time, that now it is, listen to this, high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Whenever you were saved, however many years ago that was, it's closer to time for you now. So time goes on. It just keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. And spiritual weariness sometimes gets in there and it overcomes us when we've been a Christian for a while. Y'all know how transparent I am. Don't you get frustrated sometimes? You get weary. You get tired. And Paul says, wake up. Knowing that it's high time to wake up. Let's don't get weary. We have an eternity to rest. The times and seasons, our salvation is closer than it has ever been. Now, do you do your time different now that you're a Christian than you did before you were a Christian? That's one of the things we need to always do. Am I doing anything different now than I did before I was a Christian? Hopefully the answer is yes. I hope so. If it's not, look deep into your heart right there. Are you spending enough time with God getting to know him? That's what we need to do. We need to spend our time on earth not only knowing God, but doing the will of God. 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, folks, that's not the kind of fear to where you're scared to death of something. That's called reverence. That's called the fear of the Lord, which is something that we're lacking now, nationally and all. Our nation wouldn't be in the mess it's in right now if we had the fear of the Lord in it. Amen. And so you can say amen to that because that's just the gospel truth right there. We need to bring back the fear of the Lord. not trembling, not shaking, not scared to death type fear, but reverence, complete reverence for God. And the third thing is, this is a time of opportunity for us. Ephesians 5:16 again, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. When we go outside this church, folks, walk in wisdom. Walk with God so those outside can see what we have here on the inside. Only we're taking the inside to the outside. And that's what God wants us to do. So we need to say, God, what do you want me to do today? How about this time today? How can I redeem this time? How can I be better? How can I be more efficient? How can I get more organized? How can I be a better person and all? Or have better priorities to use my time wisely? These are things we need. The kairos use of the word, redeem the seasons or buy up the opportunities. It's not necessary to squeeze more activity into less time, but to use the time we have for God's glory, for holy living, holy living. Opportunities to witness, serve, give, accept Christ, they're already here. Many times, Satan attacks our use of time. And here's something we can do. Use a time log for 1 week. Just 1 week, I challenge you to do this. And when you do it, what I want you to do is write down everything you do. Identify your time wasters. When someone's ready to lose weight, they go on a diet, they exercise, they have a track that they run on. And they get everything organized, and this is what I'm going to do. And they're going to move out of their life everything that's fattening. Coconut pie, pecan pie, chocolate cake, all that kind of stuff's got to go. So what I want you to do for 1 week is don't get rid of your coconut pie now. I want you to identify your time wasters. What are you wasting time on? What are you doing that's totally useless, that's wasting time? And you might already know what they are. I'll give you an example. If I spend more time reading a magazine than I do this book, I'm wasting time. But if I want to read a magazine and I don't let it cut into my time I'm doing here, that's really not a waste, is it? Okay? So identify your time wasters. And that don't mean we got to go out of here and be holier than thou. We're so much better, so much more godly than everybody else. We're not. We are flesh and blood, and we enjoy doing things. And that's okay for us to do that too. But we want to use our time so that when we stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, He says, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants us to be a good stewardship of the time He's given us. Why do you think He gave us so much time? For us to use it for Him. So if you'll take a week and just notice your time wasters and find anything major there, is there anything you're particularly proud of or anything that you're ashamed of? It's giving you an opportunity to say, God, my times are in your hand, and I don't want to waste them anymore. Some final guidelines here, and we're going to close out. We're going to be right on time. Forget yesterday. Not one of us can live in the past. Just forget it. Plain forget it. He made me so mad yesterday, I was just fuming. Forget it. You can't go back, okay? Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the past, live in the present, and look forward to the high call of Jesus Christ. Make Jesus Lord over today. Your relationships, your marriage, your emotions, your possessions, your time, because it's Him that gives it to us. Your talent, your treasures. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And in closing, Psalm 46:10, be still. That's hard to do. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still.